Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. The book, Little Women, set in Concord, Massachusetts, has never, ever gone out of print. And this month, a new movie interpretation will be in theaters. And then, starting in October, Greta Gerwig will be directing and filming in Massachusetts yet another Little Women movie set to star Meryl Streep. And there's even more. A BBC movie just came out as well. Why? Anne Boyd Rue may be able to explain. Anne Boyd Rue says that Louisa May Alcott's classic is as vital as ever. She's in our studio. She's a professor of English at the University of New Orleans, and her new book is called Meg, Jo, Beth, Amy, The Story of Little Women and Why It Still Matters. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, for sure, there are listeners who did not read Little Women. In a nutshell, can you give us the story about the March sisters?
Sure. Right. So these girls are growing up in Massachusetts. When the book starts, Amy's 12. She's the youngest sister. The oldest sister, Meg, is 16. And we watch them over the course of the year during the Civil War. Their father's away from home. And then the novel shifts to 3 years later. Meg's getting married and rest of the girls are growing up. So it's really a book about growing up.
So given all that young adult readers have in front of them now, and that is not just the hard copy book, but the digital life, what is it that you make the case that still matters in Little Women, that you make the case, I imagine, for it to be read, but also that it's relevant in a larger cultural aspect?
It is, and I think looking at the history of the book and the relevance it's had to women over the generations, what really surprised me doing this work was how much impact Little Women has had, particularly on women writers over the years. So many women writers, and not just American, credit Jo March with giving them their first idea that maybe I could grow up and be a writer someday.
Jo, the writerly sister. So who can you list out for us so we can understand where the ripple effect has gone?
Right. So Anna Quinlan, Barbara Kingsolver, Sonia Sanchez, bell hooks, and my favorite, J.K. Rowling, talks about Jo March meaning so much to her. And so these, I think it's not too much to say that we wouldn't have certainly as many women writers we have today if they hadn't first encountered Jo March when they were young.
So this is where I'm stretching here, because there's so much now about identity, our race, our culture, where we come from, what country. I mean, there are countries all over the world that are that have interpretations of and translations of Little Women in their native language, but that young experience when we're talking about reading books that are largely about the value of being a young person, a young girl, how do you make relevant something that was written in the 19th century?
Well, for one, this is really one of the most
white children impoverished in eastern Massachusetts.
Right. So I think what's really important to realize is that this is one of the best and earliest books we have, and one of the only for many, many years, that talks about gender as something that you're not born with. It's something that you learn, right? So the girls are learning to become young women, and what does that mean exactly? And this is something that I think we're just now really starting to grapple with as a culture, is that, you know, there are lots of different ways to be a woman. There's lots of different ways to, you know, develop our gender identity. This is where kids are at now. They're really understanding gender in so many different ways, and Jo March was the original gender-bending heroine.
Yes, and the central question of Little Women was about who will I grow up to be and who will I grow up to marry and do I need to marry, which is where the interesting stuff starts to come in now, because there is no set way for young girls, nor has there ever been. It was just sort of prescribed that way by the economics of life. So if Alcott's central question was about who do I marry? Again, how do you tell a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old, let's go a little bit younger, that is still relevant to what she's going to read?
Right, because I think it's important to remember that this was an Alcott's burning question. Who would the girls marry? This was her readers' burning question. She was getting letters from little girls saying, who wanted to know who the March sisters would marry. She said, as if that were the only end and aim of a woman's life, right? She was disappointed that she had to marry Jo off. She wanted Jo to remain a literary spinster like herself. And I think providing that context for girls and understanding the pressures that she felt she was under to, you know, marry Jo off are significant. But what's also interesting in the book, a couple of things, is the way marriage is portrayed. So first of all, marriage isn't the end. It's not the end for Meg. Meg gets married halfway through the book. And you know, you think of all the Austen novels, right? They all end in marriage. And we never see the, you know, Elizabeth Bennet, what things are like with Mr. Darcy. Well, we see what life is like with Meg and John Brooke. And it's not all rosy. It's really difficult making these transitions. I mean, Little Women is a book that older women can return to as well and get a lot from. And then in the case of Jo, even though she does marry in the end, she makes a choice that is her choice. She doesn't pick the first guy who asks her to marry him, Laurie, the, you know, really wealthy boy next door. She makes her own decisions. And in fact, she asserts her right not to marry many points in the book. And when she does marry, she tells her husband that they are going to be partners, that she will earn the money with him. And so I think it's really, it can raise some interesting questions and have some interesting conversations about what marriage means to us now. And I think Alcott was pretty progressive in that respect.
Right. And I think that while you didn't write a biography here, like who Louisa May Alcott was really factors into maybe the reason an academic like yourself and others hold on to this book as something, because there was a great dichotomy, a great notion that she didn't want to write a book about girls. She didn't like girls, right? This is what she says. And she was so averse to writing Little Women. So how can you talk a bit about how that came about?
Well, if you think about Louisa, I mean, she is Jo March in so many respects. And it's hard to imagine Jo March growing up to write a book about girls because she's a tomboy, like Louisa herself was. She liked to play with boys, and they were her best friends. And she didn't really have a lot of interest in girls and girly things. And so she didn't like the idea initially because that's what she thought a girl's book should be, very girly. And as it turns out, what she gives us instead are four girls with very unique personalities who choose very different paths in life. I mean, you know, although three of the girls get married, they marry very different men and end up having very different lives as a result. And they make different choices along the way. And I think that's, you know, Louisa did what she could do within the context of, you know, the task that she was given and the constraints of that. And we see actually later in some of her later books, she does allow women to not marry. She has girls who grow up and assert their right to remain single, and she doesn't marry them off. And so she felt a bit freer to do that, even 18 years later in the novel Jo's Boys.
I don't want to get too much into what is or isn't in a canon of literature, but I am struck by how often we have in the last few years seen writers, filmmakers going back to 19th century characters and books, even earlier, and bringing them back, and that we watch them, we read them. There's a lot we still can get from a very different time, it seems. And academics are the ones that are helping us, you know, parse this with a feminist theory in the middle of, you know, what we didn't think was a feminist book, necessarily.
Right. I think there is a great, tremendous appeal and will continue to be the more we get away from that period and more we realize how complex our lives are. There's some of the girls that I talked to when I was writing this book talked about how refreshing it was to just immerse themselves in this world where nobody had a device. Nobody was...
Snickers said in the mother of two teenagers. Sorry.
Right. I think it's really useful for them to realize what life was like when they, you know, they made their own home newspaper. They had their own theatricals. They made their own fun.
All right. So let's talk. We have 2 minutes or less. Literary heroines and non-literary heroines now. And there's a lot of Disney princesses. There's Beyonce. There's Gilmore Girls. There is Katniss from The Hunger Games. Those are some of the role models now, we don't know that they're role models, they're out there. Quickly, you took something. You took Mary Pfeiffer's social science on the sexuality, the hypersexuality of young girls, written in the 1990s, and gave it a treatment, a March Sisters treatment.
Right.
Were you, and without giving, you know, we can't explain too much about Mary Pfeiffer, but this was, Saving Ophelia, I'm blanking on the book name, Reviving Ophelia. And are you saying that even the March Sisters were, there was a sexualization of going from girls to women in the 19th century?
Absolutely. And it's kind of under the covers there because she couldn't really write about it too directly. But look at how the girls are having to wear their hair up. They're having to wear gloves now. They can't touch boys' hands at the ball. And they're having to wear their skirts long. And Jo isn't supposed to run anymore with Laurie. She's supposed to be, you know, more prim and proper. And these are ways of signaling that girls, these girls are becoming sexual beings, and they're no longer little
Would
girls.
Not have seen that without your guidance. So so thank you very much. Anne Boyd-Rue, I wish you had a little bit more time to talk today. The book is called Meg Jo Beth Amy, The Story of Little Women and Why It Still Matters. Apparently it does. She will be at the Concord Bookshop tonight and the Boston Public Library tomorrow. You can get more information on our website, radioboston.org. And that is it for our show today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Jill Kaufman. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.